Well, we're in the book of Romans, and this is our second week in this book. So if you'd open your Bibles there with me, and we'll get started, that would be great. Our theme throughout this book is being reshaped by the gospel. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today, and we're going to just keep on working through this week at one week at a time. I'm excited for this. This is a book that I have put off. I've been pastoring here as senior pastor, and so I've been scheduling my own messages for a little over 10 years, and this is the one book that I've put off because it is so rich. It has theology that touches every part of the Bible and helps us to understand God in such a much more deeper way. It has so much in it, and it's very practical, and so I've put it off only because it's that big of a book for me, and so I want to do it right, and so that's how I work. I want to make sure I do it right. So before I get into it, I'm going to, you know, get all the preparation done. And so that's where we are. We're going through the book of Romans. I have a question for you. Ready? Yeah, everybody in Romans now, you have your devices or your Bibles, whatever it is. We're at the book of Romans. Do you believe that God intended for you to make a difference? Think about that. Do you believe that God intended for you to make a difference? Now, there's some that may say no. And for those, you look at these words that we were singing, you're like, how great is our God? I don't know. He's kind of average. And you think that God made you kind of average, I guess. I don't know. But God intended for each one of us to make a difference. Now, there's two different people that would say yes then. There's the type of person that says yes and kind of dreams about it and thinks about it and says, that seems like a good idea to me. And yes, I'm on board with that and different things. But then there's the other that says, I believe God made me to make a difference. And I'm going to pursue that with my entire life. And I'm not quitting until I make a difference. There's two different groups. And in that here today are two different groups as well. There's some that say, yeah, probably, I'm sure, you know, I'll agree with the preacher because he seems like he's on a good kick and everything, but, I mean, what's that mean in my life? Walt Disney was an interesting person going back some time, and when I say the name Walt Disney, we all know what Walt Disney is. It's a place that that was designed by this individual, Walt Disney, who made this awesome place for you to take families. And that was his dream. That was his desire. His dream was to build a place for families to go and just have fun. When you read about his history, he started out dreaming about doing something on about 20 acres of land, and he had this going on. Then World War II, I believe it was, that happened, and the just economics of the time just couldn't happen. And then he decided to get a university involved in helping to design the project and stuff, and turned into I think it was a 153-acre project that it turned into, and just this huge, immense thing. And it went from this dream in his heart to reality. Opening day was crazy. As I was reading about that this week, opening day was crazy. When opening day happened, you would have expected, you look back and you say, opening day had to be magnificent. It was in the middle of a heat wave. 100 plus degree temperatures. They had just laid the asphalt the day before. So ladies are coming in that day in their high heels, and their high heels were getting stuck in the asphalt. It was just a horrible opening to this park that was supposed to be, that we now know is a great park, and just it seems like everybody kind of wants to go there for 5 minutes, and then you're like, man, this is overwhelming. It's too much walking, and you come back to get a vacation from your vacation. But, you know, if you've been there, you understand, and here's what he did. He said, I have this dream that I want to become a reality. And so he pursued this with everything possible to make this dream a reality. That's just one example, and I can give you many more examples of things that are more noble or things that are right in different senses. That's just one example that I want to give to you. What dream has God put on your heart? Where do you see God burdening you with something or someone that you feel you should be making a difference with? Paul, the writer of the book of Romans, was called to make a difference. God appears to him in a time of his life where he was large and in charge. He had a great group of friends. He had a great background of theology and all kinds of kind of accolades from a religious perspective. And he was on the pursuit with people to persecute and kill, literally, Christians. People that called themselves followers of Christ, followers of the way. And then God interrupted that. God arrested him on the way of his journey there, and he was basically going to persecute more Christians. God got a hold of his life, and during that time, he says, I have a plan for you, I have a mission for you. You're going to make a difference, not only with the Jewish people, with the Gentiles as well. God called him to make a difference, and he did. How did he do that? Simple. Let me illustrate it for you. He put his work boots on. I'm going to put my work boots on this morning. Well, it's like Mr. Rogers here this morning. How's the song go? You know, you take the shoes and you throw them off, and you're going to put this one on. And these work boots have been through a lot. I like these work boots. They cost me about $100. I have put some things inside of them to make them a little bit softer even. To walk around and do all kinds of things. These work boots have been through a lot. Last summer, I had to replace a sewer pipe. These work boots walked me through the trench to replace the sewer pipe. They were excellent for that. They did a great job. These work boots have done all kinds of things. They've been with me as I replaced a floor in a bathroom and in a kitchen. I've painted walls. I've done all kinds of things. I've been underneath my truck, fixing my truck, and these work boots have gone to work with me. I know when I'm about to get into a project, I'm not going to put my nice shoes on that I come to church with or I come to visit you with, and I'm going to put my work boots on. And if I come to visit you, you know, I'm going to put my other work boots on. You follow me? But here's the reality. If I'm going to go to work, if I'm going to do something where I want to make a difference, I'm going to put my work boots on. That's the reality of who I am. I know that as soon as I put those on, I'm not going to sit still on the couch and watch news for another half an hour. I'm going to get to work. I've got something to do. I want to make a difference. I want to do something. At the end of the day, I look back and I say, that's what I got done today. As Paul writes this letter, he's writing this letter to people that are truly making a difference. They knew what it was to put their work boots on. And today, I want to share with you what it was for them to have their work boots on. And at the end of the message, I'm going to ask you this question. Are we that church? Are we that church? So be ready. I'm going to give you who they are. And at the end, conclusion, it's, are we that church? So here's what they did. In Romans chapter 1, as Paul is writing to them, in verse 8, he says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. This is where we ended last week. He says, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. Your faith is just, it's known throughout the whole world. This is something that's spectacular. They didn't have Twitter. They didn't have Facebook to proclaim it. They didn't have newspapers. Their faith was proclaimed just by word of mouth. They knew that their faith was just incredible. What is faith? Faith is simple. Faith is a willingness to follow God. It's a willingness to say, okay, this is what God wants me to do, so therefore, I'm doing it. This is what God tells me to do in my relationship. This is what God tells me to do with my finances. This is what God tells me to do over here. So therefore, I'm just simply doing it. That's what faith is. It's not a feeling. It's something that actually has action attributed to that. Recently, I had a couple people share with me two different things that they did as steps of faith. One person shared with me as far as generosity. They were financially just being generous toward the church in different ways and toward others, and they were able to write that off on their taxes with no real intention other than they were following God by faith. And so at the end of the year, they did that, and they were amazed as they looked at their tax refund. It was the same, just about, as what they had given. And they were like, I didn't have that tax refund last year, and I stepped out in faith, not knowing that God was going to do that, and God just totally blessed in that kind of a way. And they were just rejoicing. They're like, it didn't matter. That wasn't the point. It wasn't my goal. But we just saw God bless in a reverse kind of way, in amazing ways. And it was just simply by faith. It was, okay, financially, I'm putting God first, and God, you do what you want. Another one, I had a couple come and share with me that they were just totally bitter with one another and angry toward each other, didn't really want to talk to each other, didn't want to deal with each other. They were talking about divorce even when they did talk, and things were just in a bad place. And then God got a hold of one of their heart. And instead of bitterness, they chose to follow God by faith and extend forgiveness for the hurts that they felt the other person had done to them. And then they decided they were going to love that person with everything they have. They were going to follow God by faith and just put everything in and just say, okay, all my cards are in. I'm going to forgive and love. Their marriage got totally turned upside down, and it's still continuing. Man, praise God. All that is it's I put my work boots on. It's not faith is a feeling. It's I put my work boots on. I know that what God's telling me to do has something that I should actively be doing. So therefore, I'm putting my work boots on. I'm getting to work here in my marriage. I'm getting to work in my checkbook. I'm getting to work in this relationship or at my workplace. I'm getting to work. I'm putting my work boots on because this is what God wants me to be doing. Every step of faith requires work boots. Every step of faith requires work boots. The reality is it requires from us to put our work boots on, but as this is occurring, here's what God's doing. God is reshaping us. God's doing this work where he's beginning to mold and push and bend us around. Kind of the easiest illustration I can kind of throw at you is this metal thing we have up here. This started out in the ground, literally. And then you have the steel mills that made iron, and then it got pieced into this thing and that thing, and it went down the line and finally got to this place where they made it into this mesh and then made these steel things, and some factory just blew this thing out in about 2 seconds or whatever, and they do a million of these a minute or whatever. And you've seen this on the show How It's Made, right? And it's like the coolest thing. Here's what happens. This had to be reshaped and reshaped and reshaped and reshaped and reshaped to get to the point of what we have today. This is easy, right? Not if you're the iron. Because in order to be reshaped, what needs to happen is you've got to be heated up, beat down, pressured, pushed, dragged, pulled, and all this other stuff into what you need to be. That's exactly what God does as well. As he calls us to take steps of faith, we put our work boots on and we say, okay, God, I'm ready, let's go. And you take a step and you're like, all right, that means I'm going to love my wife today and instead of strangling her. And I'm going to be awesome in this kind of way and I'm going to be generous. And so, okay, here I go. And here's what God does as the pressure comes in. He's saying, here, I'm going to heat you up to make you pliable, because as soon as you take a step to do that, she's going to say, or he's going to say, or they're going to say this thing, and it's going to provoke and irritate you. And you're going to be like, oh, I thought I was going to do that, but I'm kicking my work boots off and forget about it. God says, no, no, no. You said you want to take a step of faith. Then take a step. I'm going to guide you through that. And what it means is I'm going to mold you. I'm going to push you around and make you pliable so that you will become the person that I've intended for you to be, so that you will make a difference in your marriage, in your home, in your finances, or wherever you are. Now, here's what I found. Some of you know this. I do some welding on the side. I like to make different things and stuff. And one of these days, I'm going to bring one of my little projects in and show you that as an illustration, probably. So here's the thing that I found. It's easier to bend wire than a half-inch thick steel. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. Then others of you are like, yeah, I got that. It's easier to break a pencil than a tree. Some of us are trees. Some of us are hard as a half-inch thick steel. But guess what God knows? That he can turn the heat up. And he can make you pliable. So as we say, God, I'm willing, I'm going to take a step of faith, I'm going to put my work shoes on and I'm going, here's what God's going to do. He's going to heat things up around us in order for us to be reshaped into the image that he is making us to be so that we make a difference for his honor and for his glory. And some of you know what that is. Some of you have been there. You know what it is to have the heat turned up in your marriage. And you're like, yeah, I did that. I followed by faith. And I remember counseling this one guy that he was following God by faith and saying, okay, I'm going to put my work boots on. I'm going to do that. I'm going to love my wife. And things didn't turn out. A year later, she said, I'm leaving. I don't know what happened to you. You're a little bit crazier now than I've ever seen. But I'm still leaving. Sometimes that happens. You just can't guarantee the outcomes on the other side. But here's what I knew. At the end of talking to that person, when they came in from signing their divorce papers, they came in and talked to me and said, but God has been so good to me. I have peace that I have actually done what I know I need to do in the last year. God has changed me. I now have hope. I have peace. I have direction for once. See, God does that. He makes us pliable. He molds us and changes us. Here's a church that was saying, we're going to step out by faith and we're going to put our work boots on. We're going to work together at following God every step of the way. The second part is, here's Paul writing, and he says in verse 9, have you ever gotten a letter like this? It's interesting. He's apologetic in the beginning. He says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you, always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at least succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you. Here he's apologetic, saying, man, I want so bad to be with you all. And I've been praying about this, and God's not giving me the opportunity to come to visit with you. And please, no, God's my witness. I'm telling you. You ever have somebody make a mistake or make an excuse for not coming over or not showing up when you're expecting or wanting them to come over? You know, your child, your grandchild, your friend. And it's like, come on, really? Here's the Apostle Paul doing it. I want to be there, but I just can't. God's not allowing me to be there. And then he says, here's what I want to do. I long to see you, that in verse 11, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Here's my desire. My desire is to come that I can impart to you a gift so that you understand this. We're mutually encouraged together. In order to say all that, they need to be known for their encouragement. This is a church that you'd go into, and this would be an absolutely encouraging experience to go through. He wanted to encourage them with spiritual gifts that he's been given. Let me explain what a spiritual gift is. Spiritual gift is something given to a person that has accepted Jesus Christ as the Savior. So at the moment a person says, I believe in Jesus, it's not the moment they gave money at the offering plate. It's not the moment they helped somebody across the street. It's not the moment that their good outweighed their bad. It's the moment they accepted Jesus Christ as the one that can save them from the wrath of God for their sinfulness. So that's that point. So at that point where they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, the Holy Spirit then is given as a gift to that person to work inside of that person and to give them, manifesting out, the gifts to be using within the body of believers and within the community. It's an awesome thing. It's something that's spectacular, really. And you can see this in many different ways. You see this as a teacher. You see this as someone who has just the gift of serving. They don't want to be up front, and they just want to do things in the background. And so you have all kinds of opposites of people in front or people that are there behind the scenes. But serving and teaching and all these other things are just given as gifts from God to use within the body. Paul comes and says, I want so badly to impart to you some gifts. In order to have a gift that's working in your life, you must have the Holy Spirit that's working in you. If you're pushing God out, that's not the Holy Spirit working. But I feel like it's the Holy Spirit. If you're pushing God out, unless if it's conviction, it's your spirit that's working. Okay? It's three different spirits, the spirit of this world, spirit of God, and the spirit of your own spirit, okay? So here he's saying, I want to impart to you this spiritual gift. I want to give to you what God is giving to me. He's connected with God, wants to connect them with God as well. I wrote down If there's nothing going on inside, there's nothing to share. Agreed? When God's doing great things, you got to share. Very simple. When God's doing great things in your heart and you see God stirring, I can't wait to be there. He wants to be an encouragement to them. And then as well, he is expecting mutual encouragement. Mutual encouragement. Encouragement is, it's simple. It's to give you strength, right? Anybody like encouragement? 1, 2. Okay, 3, 4. Okay, there's a few more. Isn't that interesting? It's like, kind of. You know what? We have a multicultural church here, and I love that. White people, you need to learn how to encourage your pastor more. Now, I don't know if I'm saying this right or not, but black people. Can I say this? We're good, right? Listen. Yeah, preach, bro, preach. Right. Listen, I'm up here giving my all. Do you know that I was up last night? I was working at the table for hours. I already had my message ready. I was sitting there for 5-6 hours last night. I got up. I was up at 4:30 this morning working on my message again, just trying to make sure it was all right. Listen, I'm giving my very best for you. Can you give some back? Amen. You got it? Listen, it's okay to encourage your pastor while he's preaching. That's all it is. It's not for your show. It's not for my show. I'm giving you my best. You give me your best. Fair enough? Fair enough. All right? And that can happen. It's all right. If you're white, it's okay to talk in church. I'm just saying. You're like, we never did it this way before. I think lightning might strike. It won't. It's going to be okay. Man, I'm looking forward to, in a couple weeks, I get to go over to Mount Olive Baptist Church, and it's predominantly African American. And here's the cool thing. I get to go over there, and I'm preaching for Sunrise Service, and you're all welcome to come. 6 o'clock in the morning. All right? And there's breakfast, but let me tell you, the service is awesome. But here's the best part for me. The first time I preached over there, they started talking back. At first, I didn't know what to do. I lost total track, and I'm thinking, did I do something wrong? And then I realized, they're just encouraging me. Man, I couldn't wait to go back next time and preach because I knew that I'd go over there and they wouldn't be there like the frozen chosen. Right? They'd be encouraging the whole time at church. I'm telling you, as we grow more and more multicultural, let's let it go. Be encouraging to your preacher. He needs it. And listen, next week, I won't be here. I'm going to be up with the teens. Serving the teens and being with them, and I love it. I am enjoying being with the teens. It's just awesome. Our missionary, Sam Gill, is going to be here. You encourage him. Encourage him. Make sure that you're here. Can I just pause for intermission? 9 years ago, Sam Gill and I, went out for breakfast or lunch. I forget what it was. And we sat down in a restaurant, and I shared with him some of the concerns I had about the church. I said, you know, where we're going, I think we're in trouble because we're so molded in this way, and I just don't think we're going to reach the community because it looks like we're creating barriers instead of building bridges. And he encouraged me. He said to me, preacher, you don't know how right you are. He said, you need to work really hard at turning things around. And it's going to be hard. And you'll have some people that don't have any idea what it is to take a barrier down. That's not the word of God, but it's a traditional barrier. And build bridges. He encouraged me and encouraged me and encouraged me. He was the starting point, really, of the changes that we've made. And can I just say that it's been an awesome 10 years. I mean, these have been great years. We have, in the past couple of years, really, most of you are here. More than half of you are here in the last couple of years, right? You all probably don't know that. You think, well, I'm just brand new. Well, so is most of the rest of you. So that's why I'm telling you, it's okay to encourage a preacher and talk back. It's okay. I even had some people come on and say, hey, I noticed it's really quiet. And what if I say amen? Are they going to throw me out? Be an encouragement. We all need encouragement, don't we? Man, there's nobody exempt from encouragement. Some of you need to go home and encourage your wife today, or your husband. Some of you need to encourage them. However you want to encourage your spouse is how you want, that's up to you. But some of you need to encourage your spouse today. You need to impart to them a gift. You need to pray with them and care for them and love them in the way that God wants you to love them. Some of you have some children that you need to impart to them a gift and be an encouragement to them. Some of you have a friend that you need to be encouragement to them. That's where we need to be. And oftentimes, here's what we do. We kind of hold back. We build these barriers and we kind of wait and wait for somebody else to be encouragement. Listen, it's time for us to make a difference. Right? It's time for us to make a difference. Stop waiting for everybody else to make a difference. It's time for us to put our work shoes on and to go and be an encouragement to somebody around us, to our friend, to somebody in our house, wherever it is. We're the ones that need to make a difference. Stop waiting for someone else to make a difference. Put our work boots on. Be an encouragement. You know, I find it interesting that when you go to a basketball game or a baseball or football game, there's one player that's not on the field, and who is it? It's all the people around, the fans. They're cheering, they're applauding. It's the encouragement that propels the team to keep pushing. Listen, as a team, we need to propel each other, be each other's fans. As friends, we've got to do that and push each other to follow God and to make a difference with our lives. Be an encouragement. Tell me, you want to make a difference? Yes? Let's make a difference. Be an encouragement. The third thing you find, as Paul writes this down through, says in verse 13, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I've often intended to come to you. He's being apologetic again. But thus far have been prevented in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I'm under obligation both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. Here he's just saying, I'm following God and he's not letting me come. And man, I'm so bummed. And he does finally get there, and it's the end of his life when he gets there. But that's we'll follow that at the end of this, the book of Romans, probably in about 2 years. Verse 15, so I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Now stop there for a second. Some of us have a confusion that the gospel is only the plan of salvation. Jesus died on the cross, he paid for our sins, and then when we accept Jesus, that's the gospel. I accept Jesus as my Savior, and so therefore I'm saved, and that's it, I'm done. The gospel is, yes, this. The gospel is that God has given us the good news that he loves us so much that he sent his son so that we can have eternal life, which eternal life is both qualitative and quantitative. Okay? It's a different quality of life. It's as I follow God, he's making a huge difference in my life. It's a different quality from day one, a different quantity. It's eternal life. It's forevermore. So then what happens is we start looking at how did God do this, and this is how we want to do this. We take steps of faith. We put our work boots on. We're taking steps of faith continually, whether it's in our relationships, our finances, wherever it is in our life, we're constantly saying, okay, what's next? What's the next step? I got my work boots on. What's my next step, God? And so we constantly are doing that. The gospel is, yes, it's for this moment of salvation, but it's for the rest of my life also. That's where you see Paul coming back to the church in Rome who is already known for their faith and saying, here's what I want to preach to you. I want to preach to you the gospel. What is that? I want to tell you again, follow Christ in this. Follow Christ here. He's worth it. He loves you. So he comes back preaching the gospel to them. In verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Here's what we see. They're known for the desire for the gospel. They're known for their desire for the gospel. They were eager to hear, and he was eager to go. Years ago, I got to do guest speaking at different places, and one of the places I loved to go and speak at was a place of scholarship camp for WANA. And I would go to different camps, and one in particular I've been to a couple of different times, and I loved to speak at this camp because when you got there, it was a week-long camp, and I got to preach to teenagers, that there was, at first, there was always a resistance of, okay, we're at camp, let's do camp thing. And then after day two and day three, there was a softening that you could see God doing while you're there. And there's a pliability that you could just see as they're tuning into God's word and tuning out from the things that they're exposed to before. And they're tuning into God's word, and it was awesome. There's a reception that was there. And every year when I got to go, I loved to be able to go and preach at the teens. Why? Because you could see by the end of the week, you could see that there was an eagerness for them to understand and learn more. By Thursday and Friday, I'd be sitting down with different teenagers, and they would say, okay, help me understand this. I need to take this step, and this is going to be really hard. And yeah, I know it will be. I totally agree with you. But God's got you. He's going to help you through that. It may not turn out so well, but that's all right. Following God will always bring peace. It will always bring to you the direction and purpose that he wants for your life. So keep going. And man, it was awesome. There was such a fun time to doing that. You know what was interesting? Different from this place. Different from here. Know what else they did? Know what seats filled up first? Yeah, isn't that crazy? Like, why would you ever come to a church thing and sit up front? He might pick on you. Ah! The eagerness of hearing and knowing what God wants for you is so prevalent that I would imagine that as the Apostle Paul would come into town, this missionary coming back, I would imagine as he comes and begins to preach, the seats were filled and people were eager to hear. And it wasn't, hey, when's he going to be done? It was, come on, keep on going, preacher. Go some more. I want to hear some more. I'm so glad that you're finally here. This is great. Do we have that kind of eagerness with God? In that, we want to be with God by sitting in our chair, right? And we're spending that 15 minutes, at least 15 minutes alone a day with him, saying, okay, God, I need you. Are we eager to know who God is? Are we eager to allow him to touch our lives, to change us, to reshape us, to become who he wants us to be? And the carryover of all of that and spending time with one another is that when we come into this place, we're eager to get what God is teaching me so that you can hear it for yourselves as well. The eagerness should be there all the way through. Amen? Oh, come on now. We're going to work on this. I'm telling you what. So here's my question. Are we that church? Are we known for our faith? Are we known for our encouragement? Are we known for our teachability, our desire for the gospel? Are we known for those things? Now think about this. If we are, here's where I'm going to dive down just a little bit. That means there's something in our lives being reshaped right now. You see, if we're taking a step of faith, if I put my work boots on and I'm going to work for the Lord and I'm spiritually saying, God, I want you to do something in me. If I'm doing that, then guess what? God is working in me. He's reshaping my mouth. He's reshaping my mind. He's reshaping my wallet. He's reshaping me in some way, shape, or form. And as he's reshaping me, I'm going to my friend. I'm going to my brother, I'm going to my sister, and I'm saying, hey, listen, this is what God's teaching me. I've got to let you know. Not to give you a guilt trip. Not because I just couldn't wait to tell you this so that, you know, make you feel bad. I want to let you know that God is just, he's God in my life. and I want him to be God in yours. And you're that mutual encouragement. Not the, we get it wrong sometimes. We're the mutual guilt trip, right? I'm tired of the guilt trip. I would so much rather to be encouraged to follow than be guilted into it. Sometimes I need some guilt into it, fair enough. But to be encouraged, that mutual encouragement. When was the last time you sat down with someone, a friend, and you encouraged them with what God is encouraging you with? Man, and are you coming to the Lord, whether it's on a daily basis or whether it's coming to church? You're coming to God with an eager heart saying, come on, Lord, give me some more, give me some more. I can't get throughout my day. I can't get throughout my week without more of you. Because I keep losing my mind over here. I keep letting my mouth rip over here. And I know this is all wrong. I keep taking my work boots off. Lord, I need to put my work boots on so God, please work in me. That's what it is to come eagerly before the Lord and understand his gospel working in us. It's that every time we do, we're putting our work boots on saying, okay, God, here I go. Work in me, reshape me so that I can be that encouragement to people around me. You see, the culture of a church really makes a difference in their community. The culture of a church, what is not just on a 1 week or 2 week basis, but it's something that becomes the culture. This is what it's known as. That's the church in Rome. They had a culture of their faith was incredible. They put their work boots on and they did it. The culture that's shaped by this is something that stays and lasts. And here, can I just tell you, here's what I believe it should look like here. Just a Berean. The culture of the church that's making a difference in our community, that is. We give God the space in our lives personally to reshape us through his word and through his people. Now, don't be fake with me. Ready? That's hard. Right? I don't like to be reshaped. Do you? I don't like it when my brother gets in my face and says, you know, that action you just did. The attitude, that emotion is going, wait a second. I don't like to be reshaped. But can I tell you, I'm in the process right now where God is doing this work in me that I really would rather him not do. But I know it's for his glory and for his good. And I'm glad for it, even though it's painful. Are we giving God the space? You're not giving God any space if you don't give him any time. That's a good amen point. That's good preaching. Come on now. Come on. Right? You're not giving God any space if you don't give him any time. All right? That's the truth. Now, I realize you're giving him time by being here, and I encourage you for that. I don't take that away. I encourage you for that. Keep going. Culture of a church that makes a difference in their community. Second is we all put our work boots on to do what God has gifted us to do. So here's the deal. We come together. We come, this is so outside of our comfort zone. I'm just going to throw it out. We come early and stay late. I know, like, early? What's that? Now just, some of you think that church starts at 11 o'clock. And every now and again, I just got to help you out because it starts at 10:30. I'm just letting you know, okay? Having fun. The culture of the church says, you know, here's the deal. I want to invest everything. So maybe you have problems with sleeping. Don't run out the end then. Fair enough. Be a blessing. Be an encouragement to people around you. As we do that, as we're here early and late, people that come in for the first time, we're able to greet them and care for them and love on them. And one of the biggest changes that we made here was right there. If you've been here more than 5 years, you know. It was cold. Praise God. It's warm. I hear all the time from people that come in and they'll come for the first time as a guest and they'll say, you know, this is really friendly. People actually say hi to me in a nice way and they're comfortable and wow. Church, I encourage you. Keep going. Keep going. And it doesn't stop with just saying hi. The next level that we need to work at is building relationships deeper for the purpose of encouraging one another. So that's what I want to keep working on. Here's the next thing. You know, if we're putting our work boots on, teens, this is for you. You ready? I don't say it in a teen way because they understand this. Our kids' ministry and our teen ministry, they're lit. Yeah, I went there. Mm-hmm. Yep. Our teen ministry and our kids' ministry, they're lit. The adults are like, what did he just say? Here's what I'm saying. I just woke the teens up. They're like, I can't believe he's saying that. He's embarrassing himself. I don't even think he's using it in the right context. You don't even know how to use it either, so I'm just making it up. It's all good. Here's what it is. When you go down to kids' church, if you're a leader, if you're a helper down there, don't go down there all boring. I'll tell you what, Walt Disney, Nickelodeon, and everybody else, they'll put millions of dollars and they'll volunteer and do all kinds of stuff to make the kids have a fun time and lead them in a direction that's just to nowhere. We have purpose. We know that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. We've got hope. Our kids need to hear it. They need to see it. We got to go down there and be all excited, pumped up, and thrilled to be down there. Not like, oh, it's my week. It's like purgatory down there. Come on. It can't be that. This week, and I know it's not totally there. That's not what I'm saying. I just want to be an encouragement that if that's where you're pushing, keep going. Why did we decorate like that if we want to have anything boring go down there? There's no way. If you haven't captured their attention, you're not going to capture them with your wonderful information. Right? It is wonderful information. I'm not doubting that. But if their attention's not there, you've got nothing. This week I was getting my blood work done, as I now am doing routinely. And so I'm there, and this lady is taking my blood, and we're having a conversation. And for some of you that are wheezy about blood, that's as far as I'll go. There was nothing crazy that happened. But at the end of it, I always talk to people. That's just the way I am. I talk to people that serve me at the restaurant. And I just do that wherever I go. And so the end of that, I'm having a great conversation. She tells me about her kids, and she's got 12 and 11-year-old and 18-month-old and different things that are going on. And so we had just a great conversation. She's taking my blood. And at the end of the conversation, I said, hey, you know, I don't know if you go to church anywhere, but I'd love for you to come to my church. I pulled out, all I had was my business card, which I'm almost embarrassed to give my business card because, like, oh, the pastor? But that's what I had. So I gave her my business card and said, I'd love to have you come and bring your kids. We would love to have your kids. We've got, I didn't say we have a lit program. I didn't say that. I didn't go there. I didn't. But what I did say was, we have a great kids program, and your kids would love being here. Sunday morning, Wednesday night, our teen group, we should have an awesome kids program. Why? Because we love God that much, because he loved us that much. He came to us. Can I just tell you, the rainbow is crazy, awesome, right? The other day, we had a rainbow going on, I think it was on Tuesday or whatever, and it was an awesome rainbow. I literally stopped and took a picture because it was cool. Do you know what that says to me? God likes cool things. He put a rainbow in the sky just to make our imaginations go wild. Shouldn't we be doing that in every part of this ministry? Right? So listen, if I give up my Saturday nights for you, would you give up your Saturday nights for kids? If that's your calling, would you give up? Would you get up at 4 or 5 in the morning to prepare and be ready? Don't come in here. Don't do this thing where you come in and you're like, oh, I'm carrying my work boots. I'm going to put them on in a minute. And you haven't studied. You haven't prepared. You're not sure what you're going. Listen, don't be doing that. I'm not making any accusations. I'm just making sure that we're on the same level, right? We good? Because we all got to be given our best. That's what it is to have this kind of a church. And the last thing I wrote down was, we tear down any barrier, any and every barrier that keeps people from knowing the gospel. We tear down barriers. Any barrier that keeps people from the gospel, we tear it down. We say, that's enough, I'm done with that. If it's not in the Bible, and we are promoting it as like it is the Bible, that's a problem. We're willing to tear any barrier down so that we can communicate and connect people to God. That's where we need to be. I ran across this quote this week by Edmund Burke. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. And that's a good quote, isn't it? This is not the Bible, but it's a good quote. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Our biggest enemy in making a difference is ourselves, isn't it? It's walking out of here and actually putting our work boots on and doing something. Last week I picked on the Boyles and they weren't here, so it worked out just fine. They're here, so I won't pick on them this week, but I just let them know. So this week, I'm going to pick on the Santellas because they're not here. See, this is why you don't, like, skip church, because you never know what the preacher's going to say about you. But the Santellas, they're down in Florida with their family, and Rick and Betty, they're in their 80s. Betty doesn't want you to know that, but Rick's okay with it. And what's amazing to me is that from day one, he said, I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference in young people. He said, Pastor, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it because I want to make a difference. And here's what he's good at. He's good at organizing some things. He's good at cleaning and doing different things. He's good at a lot of things, really. So he started helping out with the hospitality team. The hospitality team is an awesome team. We've got a great team there. That cleans the church, that makes everything look great and decorates and cleans the bathrooms and cleans everywhere to make everything just right. He's in charge of this hospitality team. He's organized it so that everybody does a great job. And we've got, like, everybody on, they just do a great job. It's an encouraging thing for me when people come in and people literally walk in my office and say, Pastor, you mind if I clean your bathroom? That's so embarrassing. I have work boots. I'd rather do it myself, and I feel bad people doing things for me, but it's really encouraging. It's so encouraging to see this 80-something-year-old man who keeps saying, I got to make a difference. Before I die, I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference. And he's making a difference. And I keep saying, you have no idea how big of a difference you're making. He's got a bunch of people around him that do an awesome job in just the hospitality. They don't want to be up here up front. They don't even want me to mention their name. Am I right, Bill? I mean, they don't want any part of their name being mentioned. That's the hospitality team. That's how it works. And you were here. I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. You know, here's the thing. Every part that God has here in his body has the opportunity to make a difference if you're doing your part. That's all it takes. And so I come to communicate and say, as an encouragement, keep pushing. Keep doing your part. I know down the kids ministry, I can't say whether it's great, bad, or I'm not down there, so I don't know. Here's what I know. The kids run out of here excited. And I hope and pray that whether it's in kids' church, whether it's in Awana, whether it's in teen ministry, whether it's the music, whether it's a hospitality, ushers, greeters, wherever it is, that every part we're doing with absolute excellence. Why? Because we put our work boots on saying, I'm going to take a step by faith. I'm going to be an encouragement to everybody that's around me because the gospel needs to go out to everyone. Because God's doing something in me. He needs to do something in people around me. And by that, I believe God's going to use us to keep reaching this community. What a great day. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the encouragement of your word. Thank you for the encouragement that we can see the church in Rome and how they were impacting the people around them, how their faith, how their encouragement, their desire for the gospel was just so real. And Lord, I pray that in our lives, in this church, that we would be that and that much more. That our faith would be known, not because of us, but because of you. That, Lord, we'd be an encouragement that just exceeds the typical encouragement, the typical maybe pat on the back. But, Lord, we would go above and beyond for your sake. And, Lord, our desire for the gospel would be real because you are real in us. Lord, teach us your ways. Mold us and make us to be everything you want us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.